The scripture today is taken from Psalms 119, starting with verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey in my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want to thank Pastor Bierman for coming down and having the sermon today.
Thank you, Wendell, and good morning, Sutherland Church. It's been a little while, I think, since I was here last. I think, if my memory serves me correctly, it was involved with Wendell and the search team and placement for your pastor. I think that was it. Anyway, good to be with you. A little bit of a somber day. It would be nice to see the sun, wouldn't it? But the sun's up there somewhere, so... But it's good to be with you. Had a good drive down, and looking forward to spending some time talking about the history and mission of Sabbath School. Now, I will say this is the first time that I have talked about the history and mission of Sabbath School in church. You know, really, we kind of make, I think, a false distinction almost between Sabbath School and church, because they're both, or what we call the worship service, they're both worship, aren't they? Sabbath School is worship as well. If it isn't, there's a problem. It is worship. I just want to make a comment before I go on, and that is that really mourn the loss of Bob Robinson, and I'm sure that the family is hurting on that one. I'm not sure where Bob actually had his membership. It wasn't here, was it? Or it was here? Okay, because he just traveled. He was all the time in India, it seemed to me, and very active in promoting the mission there. Absolutely dedicated fellow. Always at our workers' meeting, trying to get the pastors to go to India. And that's going to be missed. A powerful instrument, really, in God's hand there. And so our grief is with the family. When we talk about Sabbath School, when you hear the word Sabbath School, it would be very interesting to see what word picture or what scene flashes in your mind, what concepts come up, positive or negative. You know, I like to think back to my early days with Sabbath School when I was about 3 or 4. My earliest memory is a good one. How many of you remember the little penny song? Dropping, 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 watch them as they fall. Okay, few of you. Everyone for Jesus, Jesus wants them all. And I remember we had a little device there in the children's division, and it showed us what our goal was, and I remember walking up to the front and dropping in my penny. So that's kind of the earliest memory. I also remember in my primary years, the creativity of the leader. And that was, we had little a goal device with rockets. And as you memorize scripture and repeated them, your rocket went higher and higher. And mine never went as high as I wanted. Required some discipline, but it was a good thing. And so those are just some little memories of Sabbath School, and it's good. And I hope that you have fond memories of Sabbath School, not only in the children's division, but as you get older. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the aspects that we have typically had in Sabbath School and maybe some things that we want to do. By the way, this afternoon, it is designed for adult Sabbath School teachers, Sabbath School leaders. If you're involved, you might want to come as well and are certainly welcome. Anyone's welcome, actually, that wants to attend. Dave Allen will be joining me, and we'll start that at 2 o'clock. So invite you to do that. All right, what does Sabbath School and potato chips have in common? Nobody eats potato chips, right? I think a few of you do, okay. They're a great temptation for me. I'm trying to cut them out of my diet. I don't need the salt and all the fat. But anyway, potato chips and Sabbath School, what in the world, why did they bring that up? Well, they both started in 1853, okay? Only 200 miles from each other. Saratoga Springs, New York, is where potato chips started. And just 200 miles away down in Rochester, New York, there was a man by the name of James White that we all know about. And James White in 1852 had published a series of 19 lessons in The Youth Instructor. And from those, he started what we now have as Sabbath School in Rochester, New York. Now, if you think about it, 1853 for Sabbath School is really early. Because in our history of Seventh-day Adventists, we had the first Sabbath conferences and really Sabbath keeping by Ellen James and Bates and some of these people that are famous in our denominational history, even beginning to keep the Sabbath. So this is just 6 years down the road. There were about 1,000 members in the state of New York at that point. And so James is instrumental in starting Sabbath School. Now, history has it that James wrote these lessons as he was going from town to town when he stopped to take his lunch. He would take out his lunch box, turn it over, and write the Sabbath School lesson. You know, this is the inception. This is the very beginning of what we know of Sabbath School. Where did this idea of Sabbath School come from? You know, we just glibly let it run off our tongues, but there's a little bit of history here. Methodists, the Wesleys, John and Charles Wesley, whose hymns we sing, brought it along with them from England, and they used the term to apply to Sunday school. How many of you came into the church later on, maybe grew up going to Sunday school? Okay, a number of you, all right? So you have that as a part of your heritage. Well, our pioneers applied it to Sabbath school, of course, in 1853. But the term Sunday school was first used in England in the 1780s. And there was a journal editor who had a burden for kids, young children. Now, you recognize that during the Industrial Revolution in Europe, and as it came to the U.S., and there was mass production, that the owners of big companies and mills said, there's a whole group of young people out there that we can use to help us with our mass production. And they were using children from the ages of 5 right on up through, you know, their teens. They were working 12, 16 hours a day, these little children, without a lunch break. Can you believe that? It was total exploitation. And this journal editor by the name of Robert Raikes said, we need to provide an educational opportunity for children. And so he invented what he called Sunday school. He got a lot of Anglican and Methodist pastors in England there behind him. They promoted it. And Sunday school was really school. I mean, it was about reading, writing, math, and Bible. Bible was the reading curriculum. And so it was Bible-based. And it wasn't until almost a century later, from the 1780s to the 1880s, that kids actually went to school during the middle of the week. Sunday school was the beginning of turning around, of educating young people on the one day they didn't work. They worked all the other 6 days, and then on Sunday they didn't work, and so they began to educate them. But that's the background to what became Sunday school, and then we adopted as Sabbath school, and of course it wasn't something that was done during the middle of the week. But that's the history there. Moving ahead, Sabbath school lessons. The ones that we use. Adelia Patton, who later married I.D. Van Horn. How many of you have ever heard the name Van Horn in Adventist history? A few of you nodding your heads. Maybe not well known. Later on, he was a treasurer in the General Conference. But she was way ahead of her time. And she had a vision. She wrote a series of lessons for children's Sabbath school. You recognize this is exactly a decade after James White wrote the first set of lessons that went into the youth instructor. And then in 1863 as well, good old Uriah Smith, Daniel and the Revelation writer, writes the adult Sabbath school lesson. So our heritage goes back that far for what we do today, having an adult Sabbath school quarterly and so on and so forth. Uriah Smith was the guy that made that happen. Adelia Patton, we don't always know these names and appreciate these people, but she was baptized by James White. She was an early convert, and she really caught the spirit and took off. Interestingly enough, the first Sabbath school offerings that were taken with the purpose of looking toward mission, initially not so much just general church support. The first Sabbath school offerings were taken in Milton. We think about Milton Freewater, Milton, Oregon. So it's our Northwest heritage that contributes to Sabbath school offering tradition. And Delia and her husband, I.D. Van Horn, lived in the Walla Walla area, in the Milton area, and started the Milton Church. And they were instrumental in the conversion and the baptism of Elder A.T. Jones. You know about Elder A.T. Jones, don't you? Famous for 1888 history and so forth. Unfortunately, later apostatized, but A.T. Jones was a sergeant at the time at Fort Walla Walla. And probably many of you have been to Fort Walla Walla. Well, that's where he was stationed. And this lady and her husband were instrumental into the church. It was very instrumental, Dr. Glo Bell. Dr. Bell, and the foundation of what we do today was developed by Dr. Bell in 1869 and forward. This man was way ahead of his time. Originally, he was just a patient who came to the Battle Creek Sanitarium, appreciated his treatment there, and he was a teacher, had a vision about helping young people. And so he began to establish a curriculum. He wrote books, he wrote articles, and sponsored by the General Conference, eventually he started the first elementary school in Battle Creek. It was housed in the Review and Herald building, where they were printing the Review and Herald, and so he annexed just part of that and used it for beginning to teach kids, a private Adventist school. Dr. Goodloe Bell was responsible for establishing Battle Creek College as well as South Lancaster Academy. South Lancaster Academy later became Atlantic Union College. So this is the man that was responsible really for the inception of those. Again, way beyond his day, had great vision. A couple other things that he did. He organized Sabbath schools for different ages. Up to this point, they'd only had young people, kids, children, in one group, and adults. And I don't know exactly where the cutoff line was, probably teenagers or whatever, but he organized Sabbath school into different ages. And by 1877, we have several U.S. states that and conferences that started Sabbath school associations. The more Sabbath school developments we have in 1878, in Battle Creek, the first division for smaller children. This Sabbath school division is formed and called the Bird's Nest. The Bird's Nest. I'm kind of glad we moved away from that, actually, a little bit. But had any of you ever heard of that before? A couple of you, okay? Yeah, part of our history for children's divisions. 1879, the first branch Sabbath school was organized. And in 1889, the first senior Sabbath school lesson quarterly. So we have a Sabbath school curriculum that began back in the 1860s, and now at this point, 1889, we get the quarterly. Things began to develop over time, didn't they? And it's interesting to see how they work. How many of you have been involved with a branch Sabbath school? A few of you, yeah. I remember when I was 19, between my senior year in academy and my freshman year in college, our church in North Central Washington, where I was, we had about 17 miles down the road a town by the name of Wells, and some of the members had begun doing a Sabbath afternoon children's program and Bible study out there, and those families in that community were coming. And I don't remember now, of course, what the outcome was, but I definitely know that we had interest, and I remember going there and participating and telling stories. And that was important for me. That was a significant thing in my own spiritual development, to do branch Sabbath school. And I think it's something good to experiment with and do more of. Our Sabbath school periodicals that we use, they have history. They haven't always been here. We use them. But here's a little bit about them. Our little friend has been around since 1890. So it's the oldest of our Sabbath school periodicals. Little friend, longtime friend. The others, a lot later. Primary Treasure, since 1957. I exposed my age, but I was 2 years old when the Primary Treasure came out, so I never didn't know of the Primary Treasure. It was always there. Some of you may remember Junior Guide as Junior Guide, but it didn't always stay Junior Guide. It became Guide in 1964. How it developed, because I think they kind of divided up the age group maybe a little different at that point. And then Insight, 1970. Some of you will remember how Insight exploded onto the Adventist world scene, because it was kind of radical in its own way. Its editors, some of the things they put in it, seemed to push the edges for some people. But Insight has helped our young people, and I appreciated it, certainly did as a young person, and feel that it was a great help. Sabbath school offerings, something we take up for every Sabbath. 1885, Sabbath schools begin to take offerings for missions and gifts for missions. In 1885, the Sabbath School Worker is published to train teachers and Sabbath school leaders. We've had different periodicals called different things that have functioned in that way since. In 1885, the first conference-wide practice of giving all Sabbath school donations to missions was adopted by the Upper Columbia Conference at its session in Milton, Oregon. We already talked about that. But you know, it's just exciting to think the inception of that was part of our Northwest history up there in the Walla Walla area. And in 1889, the California Conference begins to do the same thing in collecting offerings for missions. Something I value was a family that we had in our church who had a film projector. This was in the 60s, and they would bring home wholesome films, and we would watch them, the 16mm. I remember very clearly on a Sabbath afternoon watching one that talked about the development of our work in pit care. Does anybody here happen to have been to pit care? No? Okay, I haven't either. It's a long way out there. Very isolated little island. But, you know, here, in the wake of Mutiny on the Bounty and the Adams family, the patriarch there reading the Bible and establishing a Seventh-day Adventist congregation out there, that was quite a thing. And, of course, the Pitcairn, the ship that took materials into the South Seas and went to Pitcairn, came about in this time period as Sabbath schools begin to contribute money to the mission. So in 1889 and 1890, the Sabbath schools contributed about $12,000 to build the missionary ship Pitcairn. A dollar went a lot further in those days, didn't it? Sailed in 1890, and a goal of 5 cents a week per member was set. 5 cents a week. A cent went a lot farther as well for that. You'll recall that, I believe it was in Oakland, General Conference session, that could have been Battle Creek, don't quote me on that one, 1901, but very significant in our history, where Ellen White stood up and said, we need reorganization. It's way too much centralization, too much power in the hands of just a very few people. And so we were restructured. Our unions and conferences eventually emerged from the restructuring that took place in 1901, but it affected Sabbath school. And it resulted in the designation of a Sabbath school department that endures to this day. At the same time, Sabbath school divided into senior, youth, primary, and kindergarten. So that is the beginning of that breakdown. So they have all those different divisions that emerged from the 1901 reorganization. We have to ask ourselves, how much has changed in Sabbath school since 1901? Seen a few changes in Sabbath school format. And there's debate at times as to what is best and what is not. But at least in 1901, pastors were not yet assigned to churches. There weren't settled pastors. Pastors were doing the round-robin thing and visiting from church to church to church, much as the model now is overseas. But they didn't stay in one place. And so often, the Sabbath school was the only weekly religious service. That's what they did. They studied the lesson, they sang, they prayed, and that was it. They didn't typically have a sermon like we have today. And so certainly a number of things have changed structurally and with our methodology and some of the things that we do. But our world has changed a lot. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we keeping up with the change that there is? What has changed in society? Well, a remote used to be a secluded spot. Not anymore. This is a remote. A cable is what supported a bridge. High-speed access was a freeway ramp. Airbag was one who talked too much. surfing was done on the beach. Now we just surf the stations on our television. Mouse used to be a small rodent, no more. We've changed our language, and our society has changed. Are we addressing where our society is at? In the early 1980s, the General Conference began to explore what was happening with Sabbath school and saying perhaps we need to encourage some change and some innovation in meeting our world. And so in the early 1990s, they adopted 4 goals for Sabbath school. Now, you recognize that, and we recognize, that Bible study has always been the cornerstone of Sabbath school, and should be, and is very enjoyable. But there's other aspects that go along with Bible study. And that's this. They designated these 4 areas of emphasis for Sabbath school: fellowship, that we're together, outreach. So, you know, sometimes it's easy to fall into the pit of thinking we're just nurturing ourselves here. But the goal of Sabbath school, we'll hit on this in just a minute, is outreach. That's ultimately its goal. It's not just nurture, that's important, but outreach. Learning, of course, is the Bible study, getting Bible knowledge, but then applying it. Our lesson quarterlies have a lot of application questions, don't they? And that's important. So we don't just take it in. You just eat food and eat food and eat food, and you never exercise. What happens? You know, it's not good. And it's the same with Bible study. We not only need to learn it, we need to apply it. And so it's good to think, okay, what am I going to do with what I've learned this week? Where am I going to go with this? I'm going to ask you a question, and don't answer me, just in your own mind. What is it that attracts you to Sabbath school? What brings you to Sabbath school? What makes Sabbath school interesting for you? And then the second question, would it be the same for your neighbors and your friends? Would they be drawn to come for the same reasons that you're drawn to come? Well, there might be some differences in any case, but it's good to think about as we structure our programs and the things that we do in Sabbath school. The original purpose of Sabbath school, this from the Spirit of Prophecy, the object of the Sabbath school work should be what? The ingathering of souls. It's a soul-winning project. That is its purpose, is outreach. That's a focus we want to keep. I'm going to ask, I don't know if there's anyone that could say here, I'm in church today because of the Sabbath school program. Is there anyone that would say, I'm here today because of the Sabbath school program? Okay, good. Okay, so there's a contribution in your own experience. So, fulfills the purpose. Ellen White says, the Sabbath school should be one of the greatest instrumentalities and the most effectual in bringing souls to Christ. We tend to think that's the domain of the church service or an evangelistic series, don't we? But she says, and in its inception, this was their vision, that the Sabbath school is one of the greatest instrumentalities and the most effectual in bringing souls to Christ. And as we talk about this today, I know for myself, in studying this and thinking about this, it has really changed my concept of what Sabbath school is and what it was intended to be. Its primary goal is outreach. And so as we think about what we do in our Sabbath school programs and our lesson studies, that's a focus we want to have. I'd like to conclude with something that's a little bit like that, maybe not exactly, but it's a comment that our former General Conference President, Jan Paulsen, said. And this is more to the nurturing side, but I think it's probably true, and that's this. He says, Sabbath school is like breakfast. It has provided the spiritual nourishment that is needed to meet the challenges of the rest of the week. And that's better than potato chips. So there's some history of Sabbath school and its goal and mission. And I hope this review is beneficial to you, not only historically, but in shaping the vision of what you do and what you see as the purpose of Sabbath school. Father in heaven, you've told us that we have nothing to fear except we forget how you have led us and our people in our past history. And today we've reviewed a little of that history. We thank you for how you moved on people to develop this great program that we call Sabbath School. And we just pray that its work will go on and prosper as we proclaim good news to our world. They understand Jesus as Savior. They understand three angels' message. And so strengthen us as we move on, as we continue to teach, inspire, fellowship, and learn. And I pray that you'll bless the Sutherland Church, its outreach here. Each individual in their own way, in their own sphere of influence, as they touch people's lives, bless them, keep them. Be with their elementary school here and the children in it. And thank you for this church. We commit ourselves to you again today and thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.